This is On the Media. I'm Mike Pesca.
And I'm Brooke Gladstone. Six former hostages from the 1979 siege of the American embassy in Iran were stunned this week by pictures of the newly elected president of that country. They had little doubt that President-elect Mahmoud Ahmadinejad was one of their former captors. Other hostages weren't so sure, and former leaders of the Iranian Revolution flat out denied it. But the story provided one more surprise in an election that has been full of surprises, not least for Western media. In the weeks leading up to the vote, most of their coverage granted front-runner status to former President Akhbar Hashemi Rafsanjani, who ran as a moderate reformer, and predicted a second-place finish by the more liberal candidate Mustafa Moin. But Moin came in fifth. Ahmadinejad, the hardline conservative mayor of Tehran, came seemingly out of nowhere to take second place, force a runoff, and ultimately win in a landslide. Now many observers are reconsidering what they thought they knew, including Nima Milaninya, author of one of the many Iranian blogs that have cropped up in recent years. Nima, welcome to the show.
Oh, thank you very much. It's nice to be here.
Could you describe the story you saw being told in the English language press?
Absolutely. I mean, actually, one of the reasons I began blogging in the first place is because we thought that the English language coverage of Iran in general was very limited. And all those limiting characteristics, the exclusive focus on nuclear weapons, terrorism, and Iraq, began to pervade how they were viewing the elections. That is, what was the stance of the candidates on these issues?
Mm-hmm.
And that, to me, was very ironic because amongst Iranians, the issues that we are really concerned with are socioeconomic issues. You know, social freedoms and economic conditions. And in fact, if you look at what happened in the election itself, those eventually ended up the deciding factors and also what the candidates spent most of their time discussing.
It wasn't just the issues, though, that the English language press coverage may have focused wrongly on. It was also the candidates. There was a real focus on Rafsanjani.
Exactly. The focus on Hashim Rafsanjani and Mustafa Moin, I mean, everyone really thought that those were the two individuals who the battle was going to be between. Because one, Mustafa Moin was a reformist, and obviously a reformist has always dominated in the popular vote. But then Rafsanjani was also interesting because, you know, he was a former president. He was talking about economic reforms, and there seemed to be a lot of grassroots support for Rafsanjani.
So why do you think the foreign press was so far off the mark in its predictions?
If you look at the way in which the English media covers Iran, they go into Tehran and they interview the key figures, but they don't really go into the countryside to view what kind of reactions there are amongst the average Iranian, particularly the average working class or poor Iranian. One of the major ideals of the revolution was to get the money that Iran was making off of its oil industry directly into the hands of the average Iranian. And that's something that Ahmadinejad was appealing to.
So how reliant do you think that the foreign journalists were on the Iranian blogs that have cropped up in recent years, yours included? And do you think they were capable of giving the foreign press a broad-based notion of what Iranians felt?
What I do know is that the attention bloggers got during this election was significant in the foreign press. So clearly that demonstrates that foreign press was, to a certain extent, looking at what bloggers were saying. And in fact, if you look at this election alone, they've been very influential in terms of framing the issues. I mean, the reformist candidate, Mustafa Moin, met with bloggers. He had his own blog. I mean, you had almost every candidate talking about social rights. You had Rafsanjani even saying that he was going to put women back into politics. I mean, this is something almost that's unheard of. At the same time, however, because only 10% of Iranians use the internet on a daily basis, it still reaches a very limited constituency. It only displays a very limited demographic group. But there's many bloggers who are journalists. That was the only way in which to be able to relay information and not be censored by the Iranian government. So yes, they do represent a very small demographic group. But if you look at statistics, Iranians themselves state that the most reliable source of news now is from the internet and not from television and not from print.
What do you think the election of Ahmadinejad means for the blogging community there, for freedom of the press in general? Do you expect a crackdown now?
You know, no one knows. I mean, he came out of nowhere. And so really people didn't have the time to figure out what kind of policies he has. I don't think that he's going to implement any legislation which may restrict our current freedom. What I do think is that because he is likely to pick conservatives and hardliners for cabinet positions, that you'll have a trickle-down effect on the bureaucracy, which will ultimately become more repressive to bloggers and the press. And that's interesting because Hodor kind of said the same thing.
Hodor, the prominent Iranian blogger.
Exactly. He said, listen, now when I come into the airport, you know, before I would face a person who would listen to me, maybe for 3 hours we would have a conversation, and then he would let me go. Now I'm probably going to be faced with someone who's going to ask me one question and then maybe beat the rest out of me.
So let's take that worst-case scenario. What do you think will happen if bloggers, who, as you say, have done so much to craft the reformist position in Iran, what happens if they get wiped off the Internet?
Well, I don't think it's capable of wiping off the Internet, because bloggers, for some reason, are the most resilient individuals in Iran. But you're right. I think there's a concern that their numbers will dwindle. I mean, there is a concern right now that ultimately what is being developed in Iran is an intranet, that is an internet that is controlled very exclusively inside of Iran. And in fact, China, I believe, is also developing such a problem.
Mm-hmm.
And that through an intranet, that basically they're capable of censoring out any type of information in which they don't want the Iranian public to have access to.
Nima, thank you very much.
Oh, thank you very much.
Nima Milaninya is executive director of the International Students Journal in Tehran and editor of the blog IranianTruth.com.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing.
Or politics.
Country music.
Hockey.
Sex. Of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.